Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's item, or we're sticking with 18.
We're sticking with 18.
Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
And when you watch Caleb, my analogy is Superman.
Hero play.
Well, I'm a friend of Caleb's. I feel like he's a young version of Patrick Mahomes.
Caleb Williams, dancing, cutting, mesmerizing.
It's a guy,
And we are thrilled to welcome the newest Bears quarterback to The Score for the first time, to the Parkins and Spiegel Show for the first time, Caleb Williams. Caleb, thank you so much for the time. Welcome to Chicago. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing very well, man. How about that love from Bears fans, man, making your jersey the number one seller ever on Fanatics?
That's pretty badass, right?
It's not a bad welcome to Chicago, man.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's pretty sick. I mean, you got the legend of, I heard it like you said, is the most sold jersey. And so I know Caitlin Clark just you know, broke the record, I think, a week and a half ago. And so for the Bears to do that for me, you know, that's pretty sick.
Well, you know, the guy you're talking to, Danny, and this is Matt, by the way, Caleb, welcome to town. He decided to get a jump on it, and he bought a Caleb Williams 13 jersey. And we're wondering what you think he should do with that, because he was ridiculed at the time and actually still ridiculed now because it's 13 and that's not what you're going to wear. Any suggestions on what he should do with that?
Yeah, I went away from 13 because there's a 13-year vet here, Hall of Famer, named Keenan Allen. It was a quick and easy talk. I just asked him, what is he going to do? I didn't discuss or fight about it. You know, out of respect for like I said, 13-year vet. So that's how that went down. And I think you should find a way to knit or embroider a three backwards. And then equal 18.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
See, I can't, but yeah. Keenan Allen, maybe he retires in a few years, you go back to it. I have a collection.
You know, okay. once you see something, you go with it, you stick to it. I plan on, you know, unless I have a LeBron James career where I go from 23-6 between the numbers, you know, I plan on being an 18.
Well, hey, man, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers chasing down Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls. Maybe you will have a LeBron James-like career.
Yeah, maybe. That's the plan. That is the plan, to be a part of something like that, the culture and part of history like that.
Hey, Caleb, your favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, has owned the Bears for a while. Are you ready to return that favor on the Packers?
I'm excited to get out there. And go against the Packers and the cheeseheads for sure, and get out there and win games.
You know, your the way that you talk about Aaron reminds us of the way that Kobe talked about Michael. And we don't even have to give last names, but is that fair to you that there is part of Aaron's game that you have taken and will take, and then carve out your own niche with all of that input?
Yeah, I reach out to them, all the great players. I reach out to, you know, people like Aaron and Peyton and Tom, and you know, I ask, you know, what did they do? How did they do it? You know, because I'm chasing those type of people. You know, the greats that play for a long time. How'd you do it? And so, you know, some things that I get from watching them, but also hearing from them. You know, I try and imitate when I'm out there on the field or, you know, in the film room or, you know, my daily life and routines.
Hey, Caleb, there's a way that both you and Rome Odunze talk about holding each other accountable and having fun And it feels very therapized and very evolved. And frankly, we're not used to some young athletes talking that way. Where did you learn to communicate the way that you do?
Yeah, I think for Rome and myself, I would say it came from first our parents and then the village that we were raised in. Then I'd also say just the coaches and things like that, coaches and mentors that have been around us in our lives. You know, we both have came from, you know, great coaches this past year. And obviously, to be in the position that we are, and have been, we've come from, you know, a pretty good family, I'd say, the both of us. And so I think it starts with the family and then it takes over with the mentors and coaches that we've had.
Did you put it in Poles' ear? Did you have a say in them drafting Rome?
I don't know if I had a say, but I definitely, you know, threw a little bit of my intake and my advice in there. If it went a long way or not, you know, I did it regardless.
I think it might have had something. All right, last thing, man. I love that story of what the goals that you have on the back of your phone and that you had number one pick for years. What football goals do you have now on your phone screensaver?
It's just – so now that one's crossed off, I actually have to change it. I haven't had time to change it yet, but – It's going to be just the Super Bowls. You reach all your self goals. You reach all of those type of things when you win, and when you win the big games in February. So just reaching and striving for the you know, to be in February as much as possible, and doing the little things that, you know, it takes to get there.
We heard you say you want that Bears number 18 to be retired. We wish you luck on it, Caleb. Sounds good to us.
Thank you so much.
Caleb, thanks so much for the time, man. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
Awesome. Thank you. Same here.
Thank you. That's Caleb Williams with us on the Parkins and Spiegel Show, and I believe now we have Rome Odunze back-to-back. Rome, thank you so much for joining us on The Score, man. Welcome to Chicago.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
So I know you said last night you'd never been on a private jet. What's the last 24 hours been like for you?
Man, it's been awesome. The past 24 hours, I mean, it's been a whirlwind of emotions and going from place to place. But, you know, I'm happy my destination here has been in Chicago. And, you know, the private jet life is fun. It's something hopefully I could, you know, get used to. The plane, you could feel the speed of those things a little bit more than the commercial. So I got to put my feet up for sure.
Feel the power of it. That's outstanding. Rome, you've told people the first jersey you owned was a Brian Urlacher jersey. Devin Hester was your favorite player as a kid. How does that happen for a young man from Utah, sir?
I don't know, man. I mean, Utah, they don't have an NFL team. Las Vegas doesn't have an NFL team. So as a young kid, I had to go, you know, find my own path and find my own team. So my auntie lived in Chicago going to Northwestern for medical school. And she, you know, we went out here for the Chicago air show, and she got me a Brian Urlacher jersey. So happened my favorite player ended up being Devin Hester. I was watching his highlights over and over. So, you know, I guess I was just drawn to it. You know, I've been wearing orange for a while now, ever since high school. So I don't know. There's a lot of coincidences. It's kind of crazy.
Does that mean you're going to lobby to return punts as a rookie?
Oh man, I'm here to do whatever I need to have success in this, you know, in this offense and put this team in success. So if that's return punts, then, you know, so be it.
We're talking to Rome Odunze here on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. When I was reading about you, man, and I was stumping for you to be a Bear for months, honestly. I love that when you got to Washington, you looked up the program receiving yards records so that you knew what you had to do in order to break them. Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Ooh. Brandon Marshall?
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
It's an old record, man. It goes back a long way.
Johnny Morris.
How many has he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
That's it.
In the career?
In the career, yes. Man, he played in the 50s and 60s.
Welcome,
Rome.
Welcome to our world, Rome. Welcome.
Hey, man. Well, Well, I'll go break that record and hopefully add a few thousand to that. So we'll go get after it. But you know, I think we got some offensive power to do some big things over here. So you know, 5,000 is the goal. Then let's get after it.
There we go. It might not happen right away. DJ Moore, pretty good. Keenan Allen, pretty good. So we'll see how many balls there are and how many targets for all you guys. What can you learn from DJ Moore, you think, as a wide receiver? Because we loved watching him last year.
I think I can learn a lot from him. You know, I can't even put, you know, a category or a box on all the things that I can learn from him, because I think it's kind of limitless, you know, how much I can, you know, sponge, take up. But, you know, I know he's a very explosive receiver. I love the way that he, you know, attacks the ball, and he's very aggressive in his yak mindset. So definitely going to be looking to him for some of those things. But he's an overall great receiver, so learning whatever I can.
Realm, 28 contested catches, according to Pro Football Focus, for you last year, and you caught 21 of them. And what is the key to winning on 50-50 balls and contested catches?
I think it's a mindset and body positioning. I think that's the two biggest things coming to that, just because, you know, at the end of the day, you got to believe that you can go snag the ball up out of the air regardless of, you know, where the defender at or what's the angle of the ball coming in. And, you know, putting your body in that position to have success, because every single contested catch situation is different. But, you know, you know you're going to be, you know, have a physical interaction with the defender, and you're going to have to put yourself in position to succeed. So I would say both of those things.
All right, so the goal is breaking Johnny Morris's record and then some. What other goals does Roman Dunze have for himself as he gets to become a Chicago Bear?
My individual goal is to get Rookie of the Year. That's my individual goal. I'm really, really striving towards that. Follow along one of the great receivers I know, and Garrett Wilson over there with the Jets, and do some of that. That's my biggest individual goal. But, you know, I want to make the playoffs. I want to be in contention for, you know, a conference and a division championship. So those things, if we're striding towards those goals, then I think the Rookie of the Year and the individual stuff will come with it.
You know, you're going to be competing with Caleb for that award.
That's right. Well, he's going to have to throw a good ball, and I'm going to have to, you know, run some good routes. So we'll be in competition for that. And it'll be good competition for us to have, I think. And hopefully I make him look good more than he makes me look good.
Well, just remember where you were on Parkins and Spiegel on the Score when you learned that 5,000 yards is the record for a Bears wide receiver as you chase it. Okay, Rome?
Yep, thank you very much. And no shame to that record. That's an amazing thing to do. So just looking to go, you know, make my own mark.
Absolutely. Rome, thank you so much for the time, man. We look forward to talking to you and to watching you down the road.
Yep, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
See, you can respect Johnny Morris and
yes.
The Bears history like Roma Dunze just did, and also want to throw that record into the trash.
I mean, listen, it's early. We got Matt Miller coming up. We had a great night last night. We had a great day. We had a great show. It was crazy. But I don't know that we're going to top in a career.
You have skyscrapers?
I don't know that we're topping Roma Dunze. In a career?
Unbelievable. Absolute all-timer.
That was incredible.
This hour of Parkins and Spiegel on the Score is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Check the For You app for more deals.
Oh, you guys have skyscraper?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was Rome's version of Tevin Jenkins. You guys have skyscrapers? Why, yes, we do. We are a major metropolitan city with some of the greatest architecture in the history of the earth.
I mean, that guy had 60. That guy had 1,600 receiving yards last year. He had 3,200, nearly 3,300 receiving yards in college in three seasons. He's like, 5,000 in a
Dude,
career.
These guys are Bears. These are Chicago Bears who are smart and thoughtful and excited and actually listen to questions and conversations. And we're going to get more on stuff like that from Shane, who was able to be very close last night watching Caleb Williams go through a lot of his evening. I'm looking forward to hearing about that, because it has been
incredible. Yeah, we'll do that in about 15 minutes.
It's been incredibly impressive to watch both of the men that we just talked to as they talk about their lives and their futures as Chicago Bears.
Yeah, man, they're incredibly polished. And, I mean, Rome's a big personality there, and that's excellent. Caleb as a quarterback and a headline maker and the type of person who is so unafraid to be himself and say whatever he wants and has opinions. Yeah. It is going to be a fascinating dynamic because he doesn't – what he said on the pivot, and if we had more time, I would have loved to have got into it with him on how he like developed this mindset. He's like, I will – if you have an opinion, if your opinion is Drake May is better than me, he'll let you have it. But if you say something that he deems as factually inaccurate about him, he'll come back at you. And, like, that is going to be – like, that level of confidence and self-awareness to be like, yeah, I know that it'll be taken out of context. I know that I'll get criticism for it. I know that it'll make my phone life a little bit more difficult or whatever. But it's like, eh, whatever. It's just the internet. Don't need to take it so seriously. Like, his comfort in being himself – and being willing to not be a robot. I know you've heard some beat reporters say that because they had a bunch of interactions with him last night. It's just going to be a very, very refreshing thing.
Yeah, he seems to either be very comfortable with it and just let it go. Like I spoke about that moment on the pivot where Channing Crowder's like, I don't like the nails, man. I don't like it. And he goes, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, and? Okay. Is there a question?
Is there anything else? So he's either going to take that kind of approach, which is hilarious, or if you have a problem with him showing emotion to his mother at the end of a game, last night they put out, the NFL did, a five-minute video of Caleb Williams talking to his mother, and I know it was a surprise to him on the Zoom. But then he puts it out, and if anybody didn't see it, it's a split screen between his mother reading this statement that she wrote and getting to, like, why she loves him and how proud she is. And the other screen on the split screen is Caleb crying. Is Caleb just crying about the interaction and about his love for his mom. And it really felt like, are you uncomfortable with me crying with my mother? Well, here, check this out. Like, the balls on that. And that's a fascinating thing in and of itself. Like, he's going to lean in to anything like that that makes you uncomfortable. He's as you say, he seems to be very solid on who he is. There was one moment in there, by the way, as he's talking about his love for his mom and professing about her as his best girl that I thought was probably relatable to us.
I remember the times when I was when I made the decision that this was gonna be what I was, you know, wanted to do, and for the rest of my life. That there are some tough mornings and evenings, and you know, she was always. I mean, I let out a few tears because there's days that I didn't want to do it. Days I didn't want to get up. And she's just been there to support me, been there for me. She's not in all the rah-rah. She doesn't care about it. She just wants to see me enjoy. And so it's pretty special. She's a wonderful lady, my best friend. Other than now, my girlfriend.
All right, my best friend, other than now, my girlfriend. Oh, get used to trying to balance that. Get used to the rest of your life, whether it's this girl or whoever it is that becomes your life partner, that possible competition. Who's my best friend? Who's my best girl? It's my mom, other than my girlfriend. Mom, you okay with that? I don't know. Let's talk. Do I need to check in with you, Mom?
Well, there's
we can all relate to that on some level.
Well, okay, yeah, absolutely. I have to – my mom, I have to – she's like, I'm your number one fan. I have to – I gently sometimes I'm like – you're my first number one fan. You know, you're my first number one fan.
There you go.
So, yeah, we all have to do that sometimes. But it's also an annual tradition. And we were live on the air. So I caught up on a lot of this when I had insomnia last night, just like being on the internet and missing things from the draft and all that. It is an annual tradition of the girlfriend being boxed out by the mom knowing that the girlfriend is probably not going to be there for a while, like into the future, like on these couches of these live scenes, yes. You know what I mean, in the big celebrations.
Yes.
There's just always these like interesting moments of like sometimes them trying to get like a little bit of extra shine and camera time and showing off an outfit or whatever, uh-huh. And then like a disapproving mother or a sister or a father, uh-huh. Or like in the case of CeeDee Lamb, maybe the all-time greatest one ever.
Absolutely.
He's got two phones and the girl next to him in the mini dress grabs for one of the phones and he takes it right out of her hand. Like, uh-huh. Nah, don't look at who might be texting me.
Absolutely.
There could be someone else texting that I don't want you to read this number. Like, it's just that dynamic of the entry point into these like 21-year-old overnight millionaire sensation lives is a hell of a dynamic.
That's exactly right. And for those listeners who are in the old enough to be these kids' parents demographic,
yeah.
You're feeling like, I invested 19 years of my life turning you into this with your help. Of course, I mean, you were great. But now you're going to turn this over to a girlfriend? Oh, hell no. Hell no.
So, wonderful lady, my best friend. Other than now, my girlfriend.
I didn't believe it. Danny, did you believe it? I didn't believe that his girlfriend is now his best friend. No, not yet.
Well, no, in the Pivot podcast, known her since, oh, man, I don't want to misstate what it was. Known her for forever. They dated, then they stopped, then they got back together. She lived internationally for a while. I think she's Danish. So he tells the whole thing. But the family has known her for forever. And Texter says, Caleb Williams, no siblings. He is an only child of two successful parents. And, yeah, but so Caleb's situation, I actually think it might be a little genuine based on the Pivot podcast. But, like, I think it was Olu Fashanu. I don't remember who it was. This mom boxes
it was
out.
Yeah.
It was, oh yeah, just, yeah. She leaned over and she absolutely boxed him out from the camera and from everything.
Yeah, she was not letting that poor girl on the end of the couch get any shine. She at the point was like reaching past the mom just to like kind of like tap him on the knee, like they're like the closest she could get while the live chat was there was like a little knee tap, like, hi
dude,
we hang out
she
soon.
Tried the swim move, she tried everything.
Yeah, it was very impressive. The triangle button, the circle button. She was doing everything to get in that shot.
You know, we had to talk to friends of ours who like watched it on TV as we were immersed in our version of the draft experience last night. Roger Goodell recovering from back surgery, being unhappy with some of the hugs that he was subjected to. And then my people told me that they thought at some point Roger might have taken some pain meds and seemed a little loopy on the pain meds.
Oh, interesting.
As the evening went along.
You guys didn't catch that in the opening?
What's that?
Like, he was a rough go in that opening there when he first came out and opened up the draft. So that makes sense now.
Okay.
Usually Schefter reported that he didn't even know if the hugs were going to happen because of back surgery 3 weeks ago. And I don't know how bad the back surgery was because he was obviously out there standing and walking around. So it couldn't have been that terrible.
Sure.
But these guys are 300 pounds and 20 years old, and they give you bear hugs because they're happy on the biggest moment of their life.
And you got to take it. You got to, like, just like you're taking the booze, you have to take the bear hugs.
Or not when you have back surgery.
Roger's in a macho position, man. He needs to step up and be able to take it. If that means loading up on the DeLonghi.
We waited 6 years to say this. Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
That's Big D. How you like that?
Big D.
Em, I was just kidding about the rap battle. We're going to save that for another day. But the pride of Detroit has got a little some surprise for you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe a little droopy.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a slur going on. He's talking to M, Mr. and M. Like, he's just a little bit too comfortable there. Wow.
To get the season completed, but obviously we're concerned when any of our players test positive.
Jumping up into the sports commissioner mega mix when they sound drunk or stoned. Welcome, Roger.
Yeah, you never want to be with Rob Manfred in anything.
In anything.
Yeah, it's just not, no, public speak. I mean, I guess tax bracket, but anything other than that.
We waited 6 years to say this. Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players.
Waited 6 years to say to Detroit.
You think he walks off stage? He's like, nailed it.
Take him to the Detroit.
Nailed it. Perfect.
Oh, goodness.
Matt Miller will join us in 20 minutes. Shane's night when he got to tell us about it after the fact. We're like, wait, you did what, where? And it was so difficult with how and where were you? And so he was following around Caleb Williams, as getting as close to him as he could and just observing. And so Shane's behind the scenes stories from the madness is next on The Score.
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
In a career?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're having a little fun.
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
Shane is fired up!
All right, man. Our night was crazy here with all of the moving pieces, but you were out amongst a couple hundred thousand people from Detroit trying to follow Caleb Williams.
You're telling me, dude. I don't know if you know this, but the NFL did not have a very large priority in giving me access to places. I don't know if it was the NFL, if it was the city of Detroit.
They're not that invested in the Shane Reardon business.
You know how much I love the city of Detroit, so I will not besmirch it too much.
I thought you were more of a Ferndale guy.
Ferndale is not my favorite neighborhood in Detroit. I would go Royal Oak or Berkeley or Clawson. I like those. I like the stretch in Ferndale, but as a Detroit guy, I prefer Royal Oak.
Yeah,
Berkeley.
Famously.
But the city simply wasn't ready. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing because Lions fans showed the hell out. You've seen the number, 275,000. But the city's infrastructure logistically was not ready to let that many people into its city center, into the footprint of the draft itself.
Well, it wasn't ready. What does that mean? Are you talking about in terms of bathrooms? Because Kevin Warren could have built some, obviously.
Here's where I went from here yesterday. So we were here planning the show yesterday. We say, all right, 5:40 or 4:45 Central, that's going to be your first hit. That's going to be your scene setter hit.
Yeah.
Well, it took me about an hour to get anywhere that could give me a good scene setter. So our market manager, Kevin Cassidy, got us those nice hospitality passes to a very, very swanky, cool party that I should not have been in, in the third or fourth floor of the I think they call it First National,
well,
whatever.
Well, you were wearing your nice dress White Sox hat, though.
I was wearing it. I was wearing the cleaner one.
So, in fairness, you were dressed
I did fit in. I had jeans on. I had a nice blank T-shirt. But I get up there. I have one nice little drink, a nice little whiskey ginger to get me loosened up a little bit because of the stress of 275,000 people trying to keep me from getting to Caleb Williams.
Sure.
That was the biggest problem.
And the looming one-bathroom Airbnb.
I was not looking forward to that. Yeah. So I knew I had to keep it light on the whiskey gingers. But so I get up there and I get that nice shot of the beautiful Detroit and the wonderful job that they did setting this up, right? And then I'm like, okay, it's close enough. Caleb's probably going to be picked around 8:20. I want to get down there to see if Eminem surprises. I want to get down there to see the dog and pony show or whatever, right? So there's an entrance to get in right below where I was at the party. I get down there at 6:45 local time. They shut the gates down. There hasn't even been a pick yet. There's not a pick for 90 minutes, almost 2 hours.
They said there wasn't room for more people because they were about to hit their 275,000. But even on TV, I could see empty spaces in the back of the thing.
But, I mean, for fire code reasons, you have to have a certain amount of space, right? So I'm in this swarm of people for a good 45 minutes where some people are saying they're not letting anybody in, but all of a sudden you'll see, like, three or four people trickle through, and you're like, all right, well, if I just wait a little bit longer, I'll get through. Mm. No. I ended up leaving that 40 minutes later. Then I'm looking for those single media gate, one single media gate for the entire NFL draft. Find that, get in, 5 minutes, no problem. Then I'm like, all right, I've got the media thing. I'm up close. I'm just outside of the actual shell. I've got my video. I've got my scene center. That's where I did the hit with you guys, where that random mob member gave me a big hug during the middle of the hit. That was great. Didn't get their name. If you're listening, love you so much.
Mom.
I leave, and I'm like, all right, well, let me go out into Gen Pop and see what the peasants are doing, right?
Yeah. That's general population for those playing it up.
Right. I go out into Gen Pop, talk to some people, you know, figuring things out, and I'm like, all right, Caleb's being picked in like 30 minutes. I should probably go back in. I get back to the media gate, and I scan. They said, no, you've been in already. You can't go in again. They shut you out. You can only go into the media section one time as a media member, and then they kick you out. So I snuck my way into VIP, had another whiskey ginger because I'm there.
And the stress of everything you'd been dealing
exactly.
with.
Exactly. I'd been sweating a little bit. I was worried about you guys.
The number of bathrooms hadn't changed at the Airbnb.
Hadn't changed. So I get into a different VIP area where they're handing out like towels and scarves and stuff like that. And I was like, well, that would be greedy. I'm not going to take an NFL
draft
scarf. Should
have brought those for the Airbnb.
I'm not actually VIP. So I have my one drink, and then I go to try to find another
second drink.
But one in that area.
His one second drink.
I go out and I find a different media gate, right?
Sorry, it's not second one drink.
Really a media gate, but what I did see was the swaggiest human on the face of the planet, and that is the Sauce Gardner. I have found my new favorite NFL player. Sauce Gardner needs to be a Bear soon. He had on this killer green and white Jets color tracksuit with the remember when Flava Flav had that
the watch, the clock.
Yeah, the clock thing.
Yes,
a chain that big that just said Sauce on it. That was shining as bright as the North Star.
How did you know it was him?
Because of the chain.
Oh, it said Sauce on.
Yeah,
okay,
it said Sauce on.
Yeah, got it.
So I get back in.
It could have been a different sauce, to be fair.
Finally get back in.
Sauce.
The most electric moment that I've been a part of that I felt actual chills, even though it's got nothing to do with me, not my city, was when the delayed walkout of Eminem last night. I was probably, I don't know, 75 feet, 100 feet away from Eminem. Like, he's in that promo video. He's not going to actually come out, right? He just did the promo video. He's just doing that. When he walked out, the place absolutely lit up. Cooler than any live moment I've ever seen
that's awesome.
Not directly related to me, right?
That's really cool.
So I see Caleb get picked, and I want to see Rome get picked, but you never know. I figure I should probably go find Caleb now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into the media room. I'm going to do that. They wouldn't let me in. Something about my QR code wasn't working again. So I used my charm just like I did to get closer last night, end up getting in.
Had a third one drink?
No, I had stopped drinking by then. I just had the two last night. I don't know how to accurately – and I know it's easy. Like, you're the number one pick. The nation's eyes are on you. You have every opportunity to be as polite and clean and present well as possible, right? But in the other direction, you could not. Caleb Williams was the most composed, polite man I've ever seen in that kind of situation last night. And that may sound like Bears homery, and of course I'm going to feel that way because I want my team's quarterback to be as composed as he was last night.
No, but this is the thing. He comes off that way in every public interaction. Danny, as you and I were both up late, I was watching absolutely everything I could possibly watch of him yesterday, and he was patient and kind and thoughtful with everyone to every question. It was crazy, and the volume of everything he was going through was a lot. And you're saying, Shane Reardon, that you saw that with the non-on-camera stuff. You saw that with handlers, with helpers and service people, etc.
Right, and fans. Walking through the fans and taking pictures with fans and doing everything with fans. I was following him with it. Wherever they would let me go, I was with Caleb Williams and Bears PR and stuff like that, just observing, right? So there are these giant stalls when you get up into the media room. Before you go and do the Gen Pop interview with all of NFL media, you're in these stalls, and local media gets their one-on-ones with you. He was in there for a good hour, 10 minutes, doing one-on-one stand-ups with every single outlet, TV, digital, the beat writers, Weederer, Finley, Josh Schrock, with more enthusiasm as each person goes on. Where most people, you know, he's done 3 hours of interviews already. He was tapped into the Bears draft party as a hologram. He had been doing social stuff for them, digital stuff for them. And then he's got to come and do this, and then he's got to come and meet general media.
I missed the draft party hologram.
I saw the hologram. Yeah, it looks good.
Was he with Eazy-E there?
Someone said the hologram's already third all-time in Bears passing yards. Pretty good line.
It was just so refreshing to see someone who you know.
God, I'm going to think about that all night.
Had gone through 4 hours of media prior, and it's just every answer is more enthusiastic and dedicated than the other. Not dismissing anyone's question, not being tired, not shaking his feet, not moving back and forth, not looking for his out. It was so much better than what I saw out in the actual draft itself. You want to hear about my biggest the biggest fail last night?
Well, before you do that, just like everything you're saying about Caleb, I think it matters in our conversations last night with Pat Manley and Coach Wanstead about how you treat people, how you treat your teammates, like how you go through your life with all this stuff. And then Pat, with like kind of a mic drop comp moment at the end of our show, where he talks about, is it possible that Caleb was just made for this? You know, comparing him to Tiger,
yeah,
like made for the stardom, made for the times, made for this kind of role. It's like and he's been groomed for it with his father by his choice since age 10. It seems like he is really built to survive all of the different aspects of this.
What's the number, 10 million so far in NIL money?
I mean, yeah, it's always an estimate, though, right? But, yeah, that's the reported figure.
But at 22 years old, 21 years old, when you have that kind of money, when you've got a penthouse in L.A., you have every, not right, but every opportunity to just F you to everyone. I don't need you. I'm going to get endorsements anyway. I could flop in my rookie deal. I'm going to get endorsements anyway. I'm going to be the star in Chicago. He has every opportunity to do that, and every chance that he had, he was greeting someone else. He was asking someone how they're doing. He was saying good to see you. He was saying hope to see you soon. Just stuff that you think is small, but
it's big.
Not everybody's going to do that.
Yeah.
This is a different, like this Gen Z crop of kids. I mean, it was Marvin Harrison Jr. It was Malik Nabers. J.C. Latham was so fun at the presser yesterday. They're so damn respectful, and it's incredibly refreshing. You know what's not respectful?
What's that?
The drunkest man that I've seen in years last night.
Ryan Porth?
No, he was fine.
Okay.
Last night, after I had snuck into the VIP before I was waiting for Caleb and then left to try to get back into media. You know those wagons that you can pull your kids around in, like the mesh ones, with the big wheels, like monster truck wagons?
Sure.
There was a man probably 35 and his wife probably around the same age and their child 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, no.
The mother holding the child's hand because the child's father was so drunk that he had to lay down in the wagon.
No.
And she's pulling him, like, out of entry 3 to hopefully go home.
Oh,
but
represent
it was one of those things
Detroit.
Where people were taking video, but I'm thinking to myself, man, if that kid, if that ever sees that video later of her dad so blackout drunk that her mom was in tears holding her hand while the dad is knocked out sleeping in the wagon, absolutely would not want to see that. As Matt Miller walks in,
we'll
have him soon.
It's great to see Matt Miller, and he wouldn't be able to be here. None of us would be able to be here if you didn't apparently put out a fire yesterday afternoon.
So you said apparently. It's weird that you said apparently.
I missed
tell people
it.
Why you said apparently?
I didn't see it.
Okay,
I don't believe that it existed. I was sitting in a chair looking at my phone, and then you disappeared. You were next to me for a little while. Then you came back and you said, "Speaks, did you just see this?" And I'm like, "What?" I didn't see anything.
Okay, so people are familiar with catering, right? There's these catering trays, and you have the heat underneath, the sternos, I think they're called, right?
Yes.
A literal flame with liquid that keeps it eternal for however long. Someone from eternal. Oh, I just
eternal,
oh, damn it.
Eternal means.
Yeah, it's kind of like JFK's grave.
I pulled a Danny. Eternal for however long.
It's hard to monologue.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay, so someone had knocked over one of the sternos and then kicked it onto the carpet into the tablecloth. So
sure.
The liquid had spread, so the flame was spreading.
This is all theoretical.
Not theoretical.
I didn't see any of this.
They're trying to stomp out the fire with a chip box, like a cardboard box. And I look over there.
That
what the hell's
fire.
Going on? So I run over there like the hero that I am.
Yeah, what'd you do? I heard you poured water on it.
I grabbed a couple water bottles. Thanks for ruining my story. And then I put out the fire.
It's
and
a fake
saved
story. It didn't
the
happen.
Entire NFL draft. There's a security camera right up there. I guarantee we could pull that footage from yesterday.
I would love to see the footage because, yeah, I mean, if
I used my White Sox hat first. I was
well,
smacking
that's disturbing.
It. I know. So yeah, maybe that was my conscience.
Yeah, honestly, if Shane didn't save the draft, Rome Odunze wouldn't be a Bear right now.
And you guys would be dead. I would have gotten out. I was by the stairs. But
That 275,000 number would have been lowered by what, 8, 9?
Maybe thousands.
Thousands?
Thousands, I'd say, yeah.
You're a hero.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about it, not as many as they should.
Shane, excellent work. Thank you very much. Matt Miller, longtime friend of the score. He's Mel Kiper's heir apparent. He is the star of day 3 of the NFL draft on ESPN, but he's the king of this stuff year-round. He will react to the Bears Hall, the craziness around the league. He will help us put some names to 75 and 122.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one more qualified than our next guest who's going to join us, I think, for a couple of segments here. Matt Miller in person in Detroit on the score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. He's going to be one of the main stars on the biggest broadcast of it because his star has risen and continues to rise. He is Matt Miller.
Listen to the pride in your voice for Matt Miller.
Oh, my God. I've been drinking Boulevard beers with Matt Miller since the days of Joplin, Missouri. What's up, Matt?
It is so good to be back on with you guys.
I saw you making the argument of trading down at 9. Is that regardless of who's available, or are there exceptions to your philosophy of what Ryan Poles should do with that second first-round pick?
It very much depends on who's there.
I think Neighbors and Odunze would be guys that they would draft instead of trade out of.
I would. Certainly would.
With the 9th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
Thank you. The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
And we are thrilled to be joined for the next couple of segments with our old buddy, Matt Miller. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
It's been way too long since we've had a beer together.
I still owe you that beer.
I know.
This counts. I think you're paying for this one, but I do owe you one.
Listen, Odyssey will pick up the tab for these beers.
I'm getting my coffee in there because I wanted to join the cheers.
Yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
No problem. Cheers, no problem. We've been talking about having this beer for like a decade.
I know.
It hasn't been quite that long. But
it's pretty big time in Matt Miller's life, isn't it?
Well, I mean, when Shane was like, yeah, he's got time today, I'm like, that's interesting because he works 365 days a year to get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah. I also would do almost anything for Shane. So that also goes to show, you know, like my level of loyalty for that man.
He's a great man.
You know, there were times where I went through several years ago, like went through a divorce and a career change and everything before I met my current wife. And I would always like get DMs from Shane of like, hey, dude, like, don't worry about it. Like, keep going. You're good. So, like. Yeah, I love that dude.
Wow, that's
the
beautiful.
Best.
That's beautiful.
He's the best.
You know, a great thread from you on Twitter yesterday about you as a young person falling in love with the NFL draft, and then here you are getting a chance to be on it. What has this been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, so it's been crazy, and you're right. You know, I get asked this question anytime I do a media piece that's not about the draft, you know, that's like about me, and they'll say, when did you fall in love with the NFL draft? And I'll be like, I have no idea. And it's the truth. And I've asked my older brothers this, and I've asked my parents this question. I actually asked my dad this last week. It was like, hey, when did I, like, fall in love with the draft? My parents don't like sports, right? And they're like, I don't know, like 7, 8 years old. Like, it's kind of always been your thing. And I've asked my older brothers that, and they're like, man, I don't know. It's kind of always been your thing. And it really just, as long as I have memories, they revolved around the NFL draft.
So what's it like for Mel Kiper to put you over?
Oh, dude. So, you know, when I left Bleacher Report, it's one of the few people I left Bleacher Report on my own. I decided to leave at a time where people didn't get to do that in media, right? And I didn't know I was going to go to ESPN. I don't think people believe me when I tell that story, but I let Bleacher Report know, hey, I'm not interested in renewing my contract. I'm out. And I had no parachute. And I slid into the DMs of Seth Markman, who is the – some really, really long, important title, ESPN.
He's a bigwig on the programming side. Yeah.
And said, hey, I don't need any money. I need an opportunity. You know, will you give me a shot on TV? And they did. My first day on TV, I did get up and was going to go out and celebrate with my wife, and my phone rang, and it was a Maryland phone number. And I was like, I should probably answer this. It was Mel Kiper, just cold called me. And to hear that voice, at first I thought someone was messing with me, like punking me.
Like Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo or like Joey Molinaro was calling me as Mel Kiper Jr., you know? But it was Mel. And, dude, we talked for an hour. And just, you know, he said, I've always appreciated your work from afar. You know, you're one of the people I admire, you know, because we in some ways have a similar story of I didn't play college football. I know the people watching can't tell that by looking at me, but I didn't play college football. And so it was that kind of self-made attitude of, you know, I love this and I'm passionate about it and I'm going to find my own way. From day one, Mel has been nothing but great to me.
That's really cool to hear about because we're very used to conversations about sports teams where the locker room has the elder statesman helping out the kid.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we learn that media can be like that. Daniel Jeremiah, you know, talked so much about Chris Mortensen.
Right.
And their relationship, and here you are with Mel. Is it maybe it's more common than we realize?
This is my first experience, you know, because at Bleacher Report, I was hired, you know, I was one of the first 30 employees at Bleacher Report, so I was the old guy, but we were all young guys, you know, so I didn't have anyone who had been there before me on the content side that kind of brought me up, and I tried to do that, you know, with guys like Connor Rogers, you know, to help them along the way, but
I would say Mel and I have much more of an Alex Smith. I'm not comparing myself to Patrick Mahomes. We have more of an Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes than a Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. You know, it's not the.
He was a willing mentor.
Absolutely. It's not contentious in any way. And I swear I didn't just compare myself
to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, you kind of did.
Where will Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix
about that one. I always also thought that you were, I mean, you're like a creation of the internet. And yep. Bleacher Report was a huge thing. But you also were – I mean, I don't mean this in all disparagingly. Like, your Twitter account was brilliant. It was NFL Draft Scout.
Right.
Like, you branded yourself what you weren't, but what you wanted
what
to
I
be.
What I wanted to be. Yeah,
that was – it's like one of the great Twitter success stories in sports media.
I branded myself as what I was doing as a hobby and wanted to do full time. And the story behind that, I was working in marketing and I was doing
it was brilliant.
I had a good job in marketing. I thought a pretty good job of it. And when Twitter started like in 2009 or whatever, I really sat there and thought like, what is my personal SEO? It's not at Matt Miller. It's not it. No, it's like, I want people to search for NFL draft and find me. And so NFL draft scout.
God, it's so good.
Always say, because I know what you mean. Like, you don't mean it disparagingly. Some people do. They're like, oh, if it wasn't for your Twitter account. I think that the handle helped people find me. But if I was bad at my job, you don't stick around. You know, it's like the nepotism thing. Like, it can help you get in the door, but you have to stay in.
No, but
the
dude,
club,
why I mean that is because it's not just because you had a good Twitter account, but
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, and it's a plan.
Yes.
It's a plan. You had to do north. You wanted to be the next Mel Kiper.
Hey, man.
And you started making a plan step by step to get there. Yeah. And now when Mel doesn't really do day three of the draft, you do with his blessing. That's an unbelievable thing.
We are dealing with some young athletes in this NFL draft, two of whom are now Bears, who have that similar kind of foresight, frankly. Caleb Williams says, I want to be the greatest of all time, and dreams big. Roma Dunze told us 40 minutes ago he wants to be the NFL Rookie of the Year, the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yeah. I mean, these guys believe it. Have you noticed, before we talk specifically about the Bears guys, have you noticed an evolution where young players, these kids, are a little bit more progressive kind of therapeutically and in terms of thinking about things with confidence in that way?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's the line? Like, I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
That's young athletes these days. You know, and that's something like even when I go talk to journalism classes, I'm like, why aren't you doing this already? You know, and I think we see that with young athletes. Of, you know, I talked to Marvin Harrison Jr. at his pro day, and that's exactly what they said of, we're training to be an NFL wide receiver. We are not training to run a track. You know, I want to be a professional football player. And I think for Caleb to have that vision and to have the support of his parents, you know, to get him to where he is now. And for Rome, you know, Rome is somehow the toughest and greatest person you're ever going to meet, which is really hard to find. Of like, if I had to get in a fight with every guy in this room right now, I would probably pick Rome Adunze. They'd have my back. But also, like, I would let him walk my wife back to the hotel. You know, like, he's just a great guy at the same time. And so I do think that we are seeing guys who they understand the business, they understand the brand, they understand their image, you know, in a different way. And I do think we can thank NIL to some degree. When I started doing this, you would look at players and be like, how's he going to be with $1 million in his bank account? Caleb Williams is not – we don't have to worry about how Caleb's going to be with money or how Rome's going to be with money. The evidence is there. And I actually think – I've talked to scouts about this – it helps us do our job because you've eliminated the what is this guy going to do once he's famous and has money. No, he's been famous and he's had money.
So you will dominate day three. You've been all over ESPN. So you are going to help us here. We will react to the craziness of yesterday, Bears and otherwise. And then, you know, we are not qualified for the 75th pick or the 122nd pick.
But we have names to throw at Matt Miller.
And positions and needs and things like that. So we will react to yesterday and preview today and tomorrow for the Bears with Matt Miller next. Parkinson Spiegel live in Detroit on The Score.